You're listening to WMIE, Cocoa, Merritt Island, Melbourne, Titusville, and the Beaches, 91.5 FM, as well as W272BA, Cocoa Beach, and Vieira, FM 102.3.
We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And good day to you, Brevard County. Thank you for joining us here on the Refresh Radio program on WMIE 91.5 FM, today's Modern Worship. We want to thank you for joining us. We're going to be here for the next half hour, diving into the Word of God. We're going to be in Luke chapter 10. Before we get there, I wanted to take this opportunity to invite you to Merritt Assembly of God, 165 North Grove Street in Merritt Island, Florida. We are going through a Bible study on the book of Exodus, the life of Moses and Pharaoh, and a lot of the different dynamics that a lot of times when we just read through the Bible, we may gloss over. And so a few weeks ago, we were studying the relationship between Aaron and Moses. They were siblings. Aaron was the older brother, but Moses was the better known, is the better known, and also talked about that they both had a call of God on their life. And what a great thing it would be if we recognized and appreciated the giftings that other people have in their life. And and a lot of times if something's different, people in their flesh feel threatened by that. In the spirit, we're not supposed to be threatened by different gifts. We're supposed to appreciate the fact that God, the Holy Spirit, has given different gifts to individuals in the church so that the lost in the community can experience a supernatural encounter with God and say, truly, the presence of God is among you. So it's not just your typical Sunday school Bible study. We go through it and we look to see, hey, what can I glean from this situation and make it applicable in my life? Hopefully you'll join us. We have kids class at 7. Our adult Bible study at 7. We even have a young adult Bible study that takes place at 7. We would love to have you come and join us for that. We provide a study guide. We provide the tables. We give an opportunity for people to share relevant stories about their life during that time as well. So hopefully we'll see you tonight at 7 p.m. We're in Luke chapter 10 today. And I'm going to begin reading at verse number 29, read on down to verse number 37. And he, the lawyer, wanting to justify himself, said to Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" Then Jesus answered and said, "A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, who stripped him of his clothing, wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. Now by chance a certain priest came down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. Likewise, a Levite, when he arrived at that place, came and looked and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion. So he went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine, and he set him on his own animal, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. On the next day, when he departed, he took out 2 denarii, gave them to the innkeeper, and said to him, 'Take care of him, and whatever more you spend, when I come again, I will repay you.' So which of these three do you think was neighbor to him who fell among the thieves? And he said, he who showed mercy on him. Then Jesus said to him, go and do likewise. So the man's question to Jesus, who is my neighbor? A lot of times we refer to these next verses as the parable of the Good Samaritan. It could be a parable, but I happen to think that this was a real experience. A lot of times Jesus made statements to people, and it the word identifies that it's a parable. It's a story. It's a word picture. It's Jesus giving them an illustration that is going to drive home a point about the kingdom of God. The thing that makes me believe that this is a real experience is it says a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho. A certain priest came down that road, and a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was. That word certain was also used about this lawyer. He was a certain lawyer. It was a lawyer that was known. It wasn't just somebody pretending to be a lawyer. It was a specific individual that was being referred to. So just so you understand, my conservative approach to the Word of God says, look, if the Bible says that something is a type, in other words, there's an Old Testament picture of a future greater New Testament reality, then I will look at that in what's called typology. And so you can see some of those, like Jesus was a high priest in the order of Melchizedek. Melchizedek met Abraham when he had done battle and rescued Lot from the kings that had carried him off as a prisoner of war. And the Bible refers to Jesus as a high priest in the order of Melchizedek, not the Aaronic, A-A-R-O-N-I-C, priest, which was a Levitical priesthood, but one who was the king of peace and the king of righteousness. I also take that approach when it comes to identifying things as a spiritual problem. So there are a lot of people that say, oh, well, this is the spirit of that, or this is the spirit of that. And so I will just tell you that if the Bible doesn't call it a spirit of such and such, then I tend not to do it. It could be, but not every problem is a spirit. Sometimes problems are bad decisions. Sometimes problems are being in the wrong place at the wrong time, and that's what happens here with this traveler. Jesus identifies him as a certain man, and he was traveling down from Jerusalem to Jericho. It wasn't because the direction was necessarily to the south, but the fact that Jerusalem was an elevated city. So to go any place from there, you had to descend. And traveling in those days was much different than traveling in our modern times. In our modern times, you may not even have to have cash. You may travel with gift cards or a credit card or a debit card or whatever you choose to do. In those days, they had to carry any financial resources with them as they were making a trip. That made traveling along the road, if you were traveling by yourself, a very dangerous proposition, because you as an individual would have to fend off a gang who may have determined that they needed your financial resources more than you did. If you go back, this wasn't a hypothetical risk. It was a very real reality. Nehemiah, when he left the king's court where he was the cupbearer, he went to Jerusalem and he prayed specifically, God, I want you to protect us because I think that I want to give the king the testimony that you are able to protect us without a king's escort. So even though he could have availed himself of the king's security forces, he said, God, I want you to protect us. And he did not travel alone. He traveled with an entourage, if you will, and God gave them safe passage. So you're this guy that is attacked by these thieves, he's traveling alone. He's traveling with his finances with him that he needs for the trip. He was going down, and all of a sudden that which he dreaded happened to him. He was attacked by thieves. And they not only took his money, they took his clothing, they wounded him, and when they left, they had almost taken his life. In the Old Testament, that called for the priests who were nearest to where that happened to go and investigate to see if they could find the people who did this. Now, that was if in the case of if the person had died. And I want you to see that as this guy is laying there on the side of the road, obviously having been assaulted and his life is hanging in the balance, it says that there's a certain priest that comes down the same road. Now, I want to just point this out, that they're traveling the same road this victim had just traveled. And this priest, he may have been traveling by himself. There's no mention of anyone else traveling with him at that point in time. He was just as likely to be targeted as what this man was. But instead of considering the risk that he was facing himself, and instead of looking at this man and saying, oh, I got to go help that person, he crosses over to the other side of the road to where he pretends like it's safer on that side of the road. You know, if we see someone who has obviously been attacked or is injured and is in need of life-saving care, we can't afford just to look away. If we as believers truly believe that the Lord orders our steps and directs our path, we need to realize at that point in time that God has brought us to that point for such a time as this to render the aid that is necessary to minister to the hurting. So, who is my neighbor? Well, let me tell you about a guy who got injured while he was on a trip. And there was a priest who was there, and the priest had a position, but he did not have an appreciation for who his neighbor was. His agenda was more important than his opportunity. So, it's bad if that happens to you one time. So the guy continues to lay there. He continues to experience the trauma of his wounds. He had started off half dead in verse number 30, but if you continue to be in that condition, the likelihood that his life was ebbing away increases, and the priest who ignored him is replaced by a Levite. Verse number 32, likewise a Levite, when he arrived at that place, came and looked and passed by on the other side. Okay, so the certain priest saw him but ignored him. The Levite that comes along came and he looks at it. He looks at the guy. And so this is not just I caught something out of the glimpse of my eye. This is something that I focused my attention on. And whenever you do that, then you have to evaluate, is this something that I need to take action for, or do I need to ignore it? We have a lot of problems in our modern society. Those problems mean that there are a lot of opportunities for God to glorify himself in Brevard County. I understand being busy. I don't understand being too busy to deal with those who are in the throes of life and death. And I think that with all of the modern conveniences, these guys were traveling. They could go a few miles a day, where we can go that many miles or more in an hour. We have more comforts and more conveniences, and yet we're still being told by society, you've got to go faster, you've got to go faster, you've got to accomplish more, you've got to do more, you've got to, and it's never enough. Can I tell you that there are people who are commended in the Word of God for the things that they did by faith without all of the conveniences that we've got? Maybe the world will function if we're late to the appointment that we had. Now, I'm telling you this as a guy who has had to grow into appreciating the journey. When we would travel to visit family, all of our family, or my wife's family was in a different area of the country. My family was in still another area of the country, and none of them were close. And so we didn't have the financial resources to fly. That meant we had to drive. And so I would want to hurry up and get there. It wasn't like today where you can accrue massive amounts of vacation every year. Back in those days, I got 2 weeks of vacation a year. One of those would be to go visit her family. One would be to go visit mine. And that was our vacation. And so we had to drive there, which was 2 days, drive back, which was 2 days, to be there for 3 days. And so I wanted to get to the destination as fast as I could without speeding, because I'm allergic to speeding tickets. It causes my wallet to break out into poverty. So the kids and my wife, whenever we would stop, I'm thinking, okay, we can do this in 5 minutes. And after 15 or 20 minutes, we would be back on the road again. And it was like, all that time has been lost. And then one day I realized that once I got to my destination, basically all we did was sit there and recuperate from the exhaustion of the trip. And so I finally had to change my perspective to that of my wife, and that is, let's enjoy the journey as much as possible. Maybe getting to the destination is only part of the journey. A lot of people are wanting to get to heaven, and praise God, I want to go to heaven too, but I want to go to heaven because it's the presence of Jesus forevermore, not because of the streets of gold or the mansions or any of the beautiful things. Heaven's going to be indescribably beautiful. Thankful for all of that, but Jesus is who I'm looking to spend eternity with. But on the path there, we're supposed to make a difference in people's lives. One of the prophets in the Old Testament said, multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision. That means whenever we encounter people, we're supposed to represent Jesus well. Both of these positional people, a Levite and a priest, who are supposed to, the priest is a mediator between God and man. The Levite is supposed to be a servant of the relationship of the people to God. And they're supposed to be the people that know God the best. And yet in their knowing God, in their worship of him, they're neglecting the loving their neighbor as their self. The indication is that these people, or that this victim, was probably a Jewish victim that other Jewish people who had the position to help neglected to help, because, you know, this could be a trap where I could get hurt. I'm too busy. More than likely, I'm too busy. Busyness is a threat to ministry opportunities. One of the things that I have to do is I have to build margin into my life. What that means is I don't wait till the very last minute to leave my house. If I wait till the last minute and then a disruption happens, then I have created a high-pressure situation that I would rather not deal with. And so I make sure that I leave early. And in doing that, I'm able to take a more relaxed route to where I've got to be. And if something comes up, then I'm able to deal with it. So I guess I'll close out the program today and ask you this question. I'm not concerned about a title. I know that there are titles in the body of Christ. My title is Pastor Bob. I have a legal title of Reverend that has been availed to me. I very rarely use that title. I don't even generally use the title Pastor Bob unless I you know, need to for some reason, like go to the hospital. Hi, I'm a pastor, Emeritus Assembly of God, here to visit a parishioner. I'll use it in those situations like that. People at church call me pastor, but you know, I'm really Bob, and pastoring is what I do. Not concerned about titles as much as I am about how I live. And the goal of what God has called us to do is to love him with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our strength, and with all of our mind, but also to love our neighbor as ourself. So if there is someone who needs help, I need to not only be willing to see it, I need to be willing to reclassify something as an interruption and classify it as a divine opportunity. I'd make this statement to our congregation, and that is, I believe when we get to heaven, we are going to find that God intervened and protected us a lot more than what we realized. Car accidents that didn't happen because God intervened. My daughter almost had an accident one time. She never saw it coming because she had the green light. She was in the right. She went. There was a person running the red light, and they swerved to miss her. And I'm so thankful that that collision didn't happen. I think we're going to find that God intervened a lot more times than what we are aware of, and we should be very thankful for that. I also think that God set us up for divine appointments and divine opportunities many times. And we might see them, but we bring them down on the priority scale because something else is on the calendar, something else is on the agenda. And believe me, I've got a full calendar. I appreciate that. But I wonder what 2026 would look like if we adjusted our mindset and said, God, I want to love my neighbor as myself, like you've commanded us to. And I don't want to be too busy to minister to people. There was nothing financially to be gained in ministering to this hurting man. In fact, the Good Samaritan, which we'll get to the next program, there was a financial loss. But, oh, what a spiritual blessing. Can you imagine Jesus celebrating what you did, even at your expense? We'll see you next time here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.